Okay, I'm going to transition into my message. As I was thinking about this during the week, I thought maybe I'll come up with a message on food because we're at a restaurant, but nothing specific came to mind. And so last minute, I'm sticking with the lectionary, and I'm sticking with the first reading that comes to us from the book of Exodus. Exodus, as you may know, is the book in the Bible that contains the narrative of the life of Moses, whom God calls to lead his people out of captivity from Egypt, as well as it then chronicles the story of the Israelites as they escape from Egypt and then wander in the wilderness for 40 years, as God uses that time to instruct and form them into the kind of people and community that he hopes that they will become in the future as they enter back into the promised land. So let me just go ahead and read the passage of scripture, and then I'm going to spend a little bit of time building out the context and sharing just some brief thoughts. It comes to us from the 34th chapter of Exodus, verses 29 to 35, and here's what it reads. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation then returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. It's easier than we think for people to know when we've been somewhere in particular. I used to work with an individual who would exercise at a gym before coming to work. And there were times, many times, I'm pretty sure, where he wouldn't shower before he came to work. And when you walked into his office, something would cue you into the fact that, yeah, I think he worked out this morning. His body odor would give him away. When I was young, I think it was like elementary school, maybe junior high, some of my friends and I would sneak out of church service on Sunday mornings. We'd go out and play in the fields, and then we'd sneak back into the service before it ended and act like we'd been there the whole time. And I specifically remember one time, my mom confronted me after service and said, "Scott, did you leave service?" And I said, "No." "Why?" And she pointed at my pants and said, "Well, where did those stains come from?" And I remember looking down at my pants and going, "Dang, I didn't think about that." And then I told on everyone else that came with me. Everyone went down that day. My clothes betrayed me, and it gave away where I had been. Now, there are plenty more examples of how we often carry with us evidence of where we've recently been, some of which may not be noticeable to us at the time. Many crimes are solved in this fashion. I don't know if you guys watch 48 Hours or any of those shows. I watch a lot of them. But many crimes are solved in that fashion, crimes that are much less serious, or more serious, I should say, than just plain hooky from church, although it did feel pretty serious for me at the time. In our reading today, Moses is up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, according to the 28th verse, right before our reading started with verse 29. And when he comes down with the two tablets upon which we assume that the Ten Commandments were inscribed upon, it says that Moses' face was shining. And it's also kind of interesting that it says that he didn't know that it was shining. His face was lit up. It was aglow. We don't know exactly what that means, but we do know that it scared the living daylights out of his brother Aaron and the rest of the Israelites, who all ran away from him. What exactly happened to Moses' appearance is up for debate, And there's been quite a bit of discussion about what physically happened to Moses. I will tell you that the Latin translation of the Bible called the Vulgate chose a different translation for the word that's in our reading today, where it says that Moses' face shined. The Hebrew word that's used there is very similar to the Hebrew word for horn. And so historically, the Catholic Church that used the Latin translation as the authoritative version of the Bible translated this passage by saying that Moses' face or his head was horned when he came down from the mountain. So if you look at a lot of paintings of Moses from the medieval period, you can Google it. Don't do it now, but you can Google it when you have a chance. You'll see him coming down the mountain with two My Little Pony horns on his head, which could explain, at least to me, why Aaron and the other Israelites became afraid and ran away from him, because I would run away from him too. Well, after the Reformation, almost all scholarship sides with the Greek translation of the Torah called the Septuagint, which predates the Latin translation by almost 500 years, and which says that Moses' face had doxa, or it shined with glory. And I bring this up just as an interesting tidbit about this scripture passage. What struck me about this story is that every time that Moses spent time with God, something about his appearance would change. The text gives you the sense that this likely happened more than once, and maybe even quite often. Every time Moses would speak to God, he would take the veil off. Then he would later stand in the presence of the Israelites, where he would also take the veil off, and his face, his appearance, would alert the Israelites that Moses had spent some time with God and therefore had something to say. So Moses' face would inform the Israelites about where he had been and who he had been with. Which made me think about how one of the lessons that I think we see in this story is something very basic to the development of our faith, and I would say even life. And that lesson is this: we become what we behold. Whatever you spend your time looking at, meditating on, thinking about, and ruminating on is what you will become. I mean, in our culture, in our day, how much of our energy and our time and our commitments are given towards devoting ourselves to success or pleasure or to security or to comfort or to the approval of others? In the scriptures, we see this truth played out in the story of the people of Israel time and time again. Their eyes and their attention and desires become beholden to the greater cultures that are around them, to the point that they begin to adopt their practices and their beliefs and their values, which ultimately drew them away from the lifestyle that no longer continued to reflect the kind of life that God had designed for them and communicated for to them to live when Moses came down with tablets. We become what we are beholden to, what we spend our time focusing on or thinking about, often even maybe fantasizing about or obsessing over. I was reading an article this week that spoke about the bitter divisiveness that our country is currently experiencing, and how through our obsession with it, through our constant connection to it through social media or television and radio, is really exacerbating it and actually making it worse. One individual that I read, and I think Becky told me that you're kind of doing the same thing yourself, said that he took a fast from cable network and radio and news and any social media that might contain references to the divisive politics that are happening on just about an everyday occurrence. And he said that this caused an almost immediate and palpable difference to his demeanor and his stress level and how he interacted with the people in his life. Now, I'm not there yet. I still tend to open up my apps as one of the first things that I do in the morning and read the news as I enjoy my first cup of coffee. I don't know. Maybe I somehow subconsciously think that by staying alert and staying informed that I'm actually doing something without really paying attention to what it might actually be doing to me. Because social studies have shown that we do internalize it. We start to incorporate the divisiveness within us and have a greater tendency to begin to draw more and harder lines between us and them, whoever us and them might be. And there becomes less and less a possibility for grace and reconciliation. Just as this man's presence, his demeanor, his aura changed because of what he did and didn't do or spend his time ruminating on, I believe we have something to learn from that. The Apostle Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians that all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So what we behold, what we think on, what we consume will ultimately transform us for good or for bad. And I will leave you with that thought as we are about to consume some food in a few moments. And so with that, let me pray for us and let's close our time together. Lord, there's a lot about this scripture passage. I wish I could have broken down more. So much going on about how often we really do tend to focus on and to even obsess over things that ultimately transform us in ways that we may not even know. Just like Moses did not even know his face was shining, we often don't know how much of what we consume actually affects how we are as people, the kind of person that we are becoming. And so, as Paul said, we should focus, Lord, on those things that are true and those things that are good, Lord. And that those are the things, Father, that will ultimately, if we tend to focus on those things, will change us, Lord, in palpable ways. And so I do pray, Lord, that we will think about that as we go from here, and just pray now as we spend our time sharing a meal together that you would bless the food. Again, we're thankful for it. We're thankful for the people who came early to prepare it, and we ask that you would be with us now as we enjoy this time together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.